was a good morning. I just enjoyed the whole service today. Good service. Except Pastor was a little short, I thought. He has a hard time dealing with the clock sometimes, but it was good. It was good. You know, when he was talking, I was thinking, you know, when he was saying about the jurisdiction and how we have jurisdiction over our own families but not over other families, I was thinking, you know, that's really, really true. And we have to be careful when we are dealing with other children or we're allowing our children to deal with other families. And the example that he gave about this family taking his kids to movies and to dance, I thought that's really true. We have to be careful. But, you know, even more subtle than that, we have to be careful how we react to things that children say to us and how we answer or reply. You know, oh, gee, your parents are awfully strict, aren't they? That's out of line, really. I mean, that's none of our business. You know, or if a kid says to our children, well, we can't listen to that or we can't do that, instead of arguing with that child, we should just, okay, fine, we're not going to do that. And I mean, it's really very subtle, but as parents, we have to be careful how we react to other families' wishes for their children. So this is good stuff this morning. Good stuff. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. Hallelujah. We're going to take some requests and some testimonies, and I sure hope there's a lot of them. I'm sorry for being so hectic here, but it's been an interesting afternoon. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Oh, Lord, quiet my heart down. Father, we come to you this evening with joy. Lord, even excitement. Father, thank you for touching us this morning. Father, for giving Pastor such wisdom in his message this morning, the insights of all of that. Father, for the Sunday school class, dynamite, was just so good. And Lord, for tying the music into the message of Sunday school, and even the special music that we heard just brought Sunday school right into the church service today. And I especially thank you for that, Lord, because when you do those things here and you take three different entities and tie them all together on the same day in the same message, it just excites my heart to be part of that and to know that we heard from you, Lord, even before we got here, when we were doing the planning stages, we heard from you. Hallelujah. I thank you for that, Lord. We ask you now to be with us, Father, as we draw near to you. Lord, draw near to us because we know you do. And Father, we know that none can come to you but the Spirit draw them. And I thank you for the drawing. Hallelujah. I thank you for the drawing of the Holy Spirit and the drawing near of the Father just because we step a little closer to you. Thank you for that. Be with us now. Hallelujah. Lord God, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thy great power. Lord God, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thine outstretched arm. For nothing is too difficult for thee. Nothing is too difficult for thee. Great and mighty God, great in counsel, mighty indeed.
Mighty indeed.
Oh, nothing, nothing, absolutely nothing. Nothing is too difficult for thee. Oh, Lord God,
thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thy great power. Thou, Lord God, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thine outstretched arm. Nothing is too difficult for thee. Nothing is too difficult for thee. Great and mighty God, great in counsel, mighty indeed.
Mighty indeed.
Oh, nothing, nothing, absolutely nothing. Nothing is too difficult for thee.
One more time.
Ah, Lord God, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thy great power. Ah, Lord God, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thine outstretched arm. Nothing is too difficult for thee. Nothing is too difficult for thee. Great and mighty God, great in counsel, mighty indeed. Nothing, nothing, absolutely nothing. Nothing is too difficult for thee. Nothing, nothing, absolutely nothing. Nothing is too difficult for thee.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'll fly away. Let's do page 375.
Some glad morning when this life is over, I'll fly away to a home on God's celestial shore. I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh glory. I'll fly away
in the morning
when I die. Hallelujah, by and by. Shadows of this life have gone, I'll fly away. Like a bird from prison bars has flown, I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh glory. I'll fly away
in the morning
when I die. Hallelujah, by and by. Shall never end. I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh glory. I'll fly away
in the morning
when I die. Hallelujah, by and by. I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh glory. I'll fly away. By and by, I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh glory. I'll fly away
in the morning
when I die. Hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away.
Fly away, fly away. Maybe we would fly away. I don't know. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Do you have any testimonies? Praise God.
The Lord has really been dealing with me, and my mom. That the first song you put up there, you see, I think a lot of times that I have to do it, that God, he's not great enough, so I have to voice it myself to get it understood. And so, the last week and a half, there's been
interesting what "be still and know that I am God" means, isn't it? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Be still and watch me work. Hallelujah. Any other testimonies? Craig.
We never really shared what happened to the business with all of them. So when I've done, someone else can share. But just a little overview, we did smaller outreaches throughout the week and saw quite a few people get saved. And then the final day, we worked with Conway Hope, and I don't know if you know Conway Hope is, but it's an Assembly of God organization that brings in semi-load of food, and they set up kind of a, you walk in and you go through different things like kids zone, and they get food and they can eat there, they can groceries, they can see a doctor, get a haircut, see a dentist, all different things. And we all worked in various parts of that, and so we didn't necessarily get to, some of us didn't necessarily get to actually share the gospel that day, but we were instruments in the whole organization. And there was over 7,000 people that went through and heard the gospel that day. I believe there were 750 conversions. And there was another 4,000 or so people waiting in line that we ran out of food that could not serve them. So, God was good to us, we had a good time, but as far as I go, with someone else.
And this was inner city ministry.
Yes.
This was, I mean, this was
when they talk about slums, that's home. It was pretty rough stuff.
Too bad they were rough.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
We weren't in danger. We got lost a few times, but
and I was never lost. He got lost. I always knew where we were, and I was like, "Where's the back of the old rat?" He always goes, "I don't know where I'm at."
Hallelujah. I didn't want to stand up, so. Like Craig said, we were in some dangerous places. Carl and I and a few others, we were doing some street witnessing. This is kind of off the track, but we ended up in a juvenile delinquents place. It wasn't juvenile. It was kind of, they quote-unquote said, "You're on the premises of a prison. Please leave." So that was interesting.
It was a minimum security prison, and the gate was open.
Yeah, it was. There was no gate. So, but anyway, it was, I have to say, it was one of the hardest missions trips I've ever been on. And I think more than you know, when I think about missions trip, I think of all this joy and just this wonderful feeling about serving other people. And I did have the good feeling about serving other people, but as far as joy goes, I didn't have a lot of, I had some joy there, you know, rejoicing with those who got saved, but one of the things the Lord showed me through that whole thing was how selfish our country has become, especially on the day of Convoy of Hope. There were, like Craig said, there were like 4,000 people we had to turn away. I was out on one of the street corners passing out just little treats because I worked in the food department for that day, and so they handed us boxes of treats and said, "Hey, just go get the line and tell people, you know, what's happening, and just kind of love on the people and hand them out these treats." And so I went to one of the way far corners where I figured none of the other people had been there yet, and it started getting really rowdy out there, and just noticing how selfish our world has become, and just realizing, you know, you really have to make a stand for Christ. I mean, just by what you say and even the way you act and being quiet and calm. And so it was a turning point for me. So.
Thank you. sessions, you know, so I went through and I had a really good time, but I also had a rough time being down there, and it was a lot different. And it wasn't what I was expecting. I was expecting just a, I don't know, I can't even explain what I was expecting, but it wasn't what I was expecting. It was really good though. And then we went to Milwaukee, and that wasn't what I expected either. But the whole week, Lori, the lady was like the leader of it all, the basic leader of us kids anyway, kept saying, I mean, you cannot do this and not be spoken to by God. And God was showing me things that I didn't feel like I was being directly spoken to. You know, like, there wasn't that in my heart. Like, God had spoken to me in my heart. And then, from second to last day, I got to use my Spanish. I mean, I was in a group that had three Spanish-speaking kids, three kids that were from that neighborhood, and it just didn't, I don't know, hit them that, hey, this person doesn't speak Spanish, and we need to talk to them. And so I went down to the lady, and I talked to her, and I don't know how good my Spanish was, but I felt just blessed to be able to use that. And, I don't know, then the last day, the very last night we had to leave in the morning, I was talking to an older lady, one of the older ladies of our group, one of the supervisors, and I was still kind of edgy about the fact that I had not heard from God, and I felt bad, and I was talking to her, and all of a sudden I just started crying, and because I just realized that, in California, I used to live in places like that before I moved to Wisconsin. And God brought me out of that. But I still, the whole week, I had no heart for those people. And there were a lot of bad things that happened. You know, people were not being nice, and as Mark said, very selfish. But God just opened my eyes in a different way, and people didn't treat me that way. I felt respected different there, accepted different there, and I just felt more comfortable with those people. And as I was coming late, I just started crying and realized that foreign missions isn't where it belongs, you know, but that God wanted me in places like those. Even though it's quite odd to see the little 16-year-old white girl walking through the ghetto, but, you know, it was really good, and the people there, I just love them, and I just thank God for showing me a little bit more of what he has for me.
I forgot to say something before. There was one Hmong family. Debbie and I were on the same team, and I had been kind of, before I even went on the mission trip, I was praying, and I was like, Lord, you know, it would be really awesome if I ran into a Hmong family and got to witness to them. Well, you know, God answers prayer, and so I ran into this Hmong family, and there was only one, and it was really a blessing, you know, me being Hmong, and the oldest two children, there were five of them, the oldest one was 11, and then the next one was 9. They both accepted the Lord. So it was, I didn't find out about this until afterwards, and but it was really awesome to see God using me to touch my own nation.
How many daughters did they have?
They had four and one boy. The oldest one was Kia. One was named I don't remember. There was a 7-year-old, and her name was Ba, and she talked all the time. Then there was this little 4-year-old, and I cannot remember. Yeah, they were all named Mai. All the girls' names were like my Kia, my which Ba, name? My, you know. And
they
so
were all named Mai. So they asked, "What's your name, Mai?"
Yeah, it was really cute.
And instantly, you know.
The first thing I said when I saw them, because I knew they were Hmong, and so as they came walking out of the door, I said "Nijong," which was like hi in Hmong, and they're like, you know, shocked. And so they came down, I'm like, hi, you know, and they started talking to me. So the little 4-year-old, she hadn't entered school yet, and so all she knew was Hmong. And at first she was really shy towards me, but then after a while she would warm up and she'd just climb in my lap, and then all of a sudden you find out she just talks a mile a minute. And so she would sit there, and she'd all of a sudden turn to me, and she'd start rattling in Hmong, and I'd be like, uh-huh, sure. And then she'd stop. But it was really neat to see that, and see that, you know, see the trust so easily with them. So it was good to see.
Debbie, everybody had a hard time getting you to Peru. Everybody. Hallelujah. Iola, you said you had a testimony.
I think my neighbor and I felt an envy
You prayed for your neighbor at a Bible study? At the women's ministry Bible study? And she has less pain? Beautiful. Hallelujah. Ladies, that's for you. I mean, it's for all of us, but it's for you. Hallelujah. That's great. That's great. Mark.
I guess, well, I felt for a long time God calling me to youth evangelism, to specific teenagers. And you go on mission trips, and they're always geared toward a little kid. And that's just never been the cry of my heart, I guess. And, you know, little kids, yeah, they're all getting saved, but the realization in my brain is these kids aren't old enough to know the decision that they're making. And it just doesn't register me well. Yeah, they're asking me, isn't it hard, but they don't even know what they're doing. And I went to El Salvador, and we'd go and we'd do street ministry, and they'd all be little kids, no teenagers, adults, and then little kids. And, you know, yeah, I'm doing little kids, and I'm good with little kids. I'd juggle for them, and they'd all just spaz, and it was really fun. But, you know, I was really just like, okay, I never felt any sadness over these little kids. I mean, I was sad that they were going home to these bad families, but it just never, that passion was never there. And then we went into high school, in El Salvador, you can go into the high schools and do ministry. And in some of the high schools we had gone to, they had never gone to high schools really before. And some of the first times they ever went down there was when we were down there. And some of the high schools, the reaction of the kids they had never seen before, high schoolers bawling and crying. And I remember we were at one outreach, and the earlier that day we had gone to an outreach, and they were all little kids, and they had just nothing. And we went to that high school, and I remember I almost just started bawling in front of all of them, looking at their faces, thinking about how they needed Jesus. And then we went to Milwaukee, and again, all little kids. And it was, and we were in one bad area of Milwaukee, and we were walking around the corner going to invite kids to the outreach. And up came this group of teenage boys to me, and they had seen I had juggling balls in my hand, and they grabbed them from me and said, "Here, let me try." So they all started trying, and everybody else was with me, and all the little kids kept going, and I stood there all by myself, and they finally went around the corner. So I was there in the middle of the ghetto all by myself with like three black teenage boys and more coming, trying to learn how to juggle. And they're like, "Here, let me try. Here, let me try." They're all... I'm talking to them, and they're telling me about girls, and telling me about this and that, and trying to juggle in the process, and they're just like, "Here, let me try, here, let me try." And it's just the way God says, okay, you know, it's like the confirmation, like, you are meant to be with teenagers, and that is where your heart is, and that's where I need your heart to be. And it was really, it was good. It was very fun. And I never felt scared. I never felt scared at all. I was never scared. I knew God was there, and I wasn't afraid of these big, tall black boys.
Mark, you never afraid of anything.
That's not true.
God is good. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. That's a song they've been doing. Hallelujah. Is it anybody else? Hallelujah.
Rex and I have been a couple for 12 years. We've been together. And since the beginning, he told me about his life, which I don't know how many of you know, but it was a pretty rough childhood. He said, "I'm going to find my father, or I'm going to find my father's family." He hasn't seen his dad since about 10 or so. We had no idea what happened to him. And through a twist of fate, I don't do that very often for doing bookkeeping. But I just happened to be at my mom and dad's doing their bookkeeping, and I had to wait for a response from one of the employees. So I had the internet up, and I said, "Okay, one more time. I've done this 100 times. So one more time, I will put in the last name of Lon, and I will put in Michigan." There came up with only four. God only knows why only four came up, because I found out later that more should have come up. Only four. I said, "I can call four." First one,
devil still tried to tell us no, it wasn't a relative, because she's about 8-7 years old and was a little bit confused about all the details, a little bit lonely. And I talked to her for probably 45 minutes that day, and finally she's like, well, his dad could be Jackie because we haven't seen him in years, and I don't think that fits. And this past Sunday, or Saturday, but we met him on Sunday, his grandma and her husband, who I think we would consider to be grandma, they've been married for 20 years, they came, and we finally met his family. And so, you know, you always wonder, because we know a little bit about it, and it's not a good situation. So we always wonder, what are they like? And, you know, does she even want to know us after all these years? And she said that she's been looking all these years, and she had a scrapbook made up by her family, not by herself, but her family, last year for her 80th birthday. And
now this is his dad's mother?
Yeah, and it included pictures of Brett and Phil and Audrey, the three kids. And it made it even more special to me because all the little pictures, the little kid pictures of Rex have been burned. So this is the youngest picture we've ever seen of him. And then the last night, as we had said goodbye in the motel, and then her husband walked us. Oh, because he had to get something out of the car, and he said to me, you can't know what this has been like. We've been married for 20 years, and from the very beginning, she said, I've always wondered what happened to those two little boys and that little girl. And to top it off, she's wonderful.
That's great.
So, we just thank God that they brought her to us, and before it was too late.
Hallelujah.
I don't know why I'm crying. that's great. That's great. What are we doing? Anybody else? Does anybody have any requests? That's what it's all about, isn't it? You know, I keep thinking about his pastor's story a couple weeks ago about silver being refined and how the refiner sits there and keeps looking in the furnace, and when does he know that the refining is done? Well, right here. When the beauty of Jesus is seen in us, we've been refined. Hallelujah. Put us in the fire, Lord.
Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me.
Who do I go to? Iola? 151. I like this song.
harvest field not ripen. There's a work for all to do. Hark, the voice of God is calling to the harvest, calling you. Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you go in Jesus' name.
Now only the man and family.
And little known, it is great if God is in it, and will not forget his own. Little is much when God is in it, labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown, and you can win it if you go. Conflict here is ended, and our race on earth is run. He will say, if we are faithful, welcome home, my child will run. Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown. God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you go in Jesus' name.
You know, it's interesting. They never need a book until I called for them to sing it. Then all of a sudden everybody's looking at them. I love to hear them sing it. Sharon, you raise your hand.
Okay.
Carolyn Weston.
Right. And she had lung cancer. And she had breast cancer. Then they found cancer in her lymph nodes. And this spring, they gave her 4 months to live, and she had 14 tumors or cancer in her brain. And August was 4 months. And she came out and seen us. And a week before she came and seen us, they found the beautiful bones. And the sad thing is, she has been raised in a home that probably didn't go to church all the time, but it was Baptist background with Assembly of God and Four Squares thrown in there for good measure. And she made a comment to us about wanting to search other religions before she died. Now, I don't know if it's the tumors in her brain that's talking this way, but I really want people to pray for her.
I think we should take, right now, let's do that.
Yes. Great.
Could we stand while we pray? If
any of you feel like leading out?
It's going to be 54 in November.
Feel free to pray for her. Carolyn?
Carolyn Weston.
Father, we just
come in the precious name of Jesus Christ, Lord, with the burden of Sharon's cousin on her heart, Lord. Carolyn Weston is her name. Father, we just ask you to open the eyes of her understanding, Father, to see the height and the breadth and the depth of what you have provided for her already. Lord, show her the truth. Set her free, Father, by the truth of your word. Set her free from this wondering about religions. Father, show her that it's your son and a relationship with Jesus Christ, the Son of the Living God, not a religion made by man, but it's the truth of salvation through none other than Jesus Christ. Show her, Lord, reveal to her the truth of that. Father, bring her to complete salvation before this time comes that she steps over from this life to the next. Lord, bring her to glory that she would be there waiting for Sharon. Lord, bring her to glory that she would be there. Father, we ask to do a quick work, Lord, and that she would even call Sharon up with excitement and tell her, Sharon, I found the truth, and it's Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Lord, we ask this prayer request. We ask in the name, in the strong name of Jesus Christ. Lord, in the mighty, powerful name, Lord, by the power of the blood of your Son, we ask you to make it happen. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you for bringing that, Sharon. Thank you for that. Bless you, Lord. Why don't we do this last song and then we're going to end. Kyle, go home. Hurry back. Hallelujah. Oh God, you are my God. Yes, you are. Hallelujah.
Follow you all of my days. Oh God, you are my God, and I will ever praise you. Oh God, you are my God, and I will ever praise you. And I will seek you in the morning, and I will walk in your ways, and step by step you'll lead me, and I will follow you all of my days. And step by step you'll lead me, and I will follow you all of my days.
You win the one next to you, and I win the next to me. In all kinds of weather, we'll all work together and see what God can do. If you win the one next to you, and I win the one next to me, in no time at all, we'll be God's all. So win them, one by one.
You want to try it with us? It's not really that difficult. If you win the one next to you, and I win the one next to me, we'll start with that one.
You win the one next to you, and I win the one next to me. In all kinds of weather, we'll all work together and see what God can do. Time and all, they'll be God's call.
Thanks. We'll work on that one. Iola, the chalk drawing next Sunday morning. Little as much when God is in it. You'll see just how little there has to be for God to do great things. And actually, one word has brought revival to Australia. And we'll share that with you next Sunday morning in the chalk drawing. Tonight, I am going away from the weapons of our warfare because I want to look at a subject called eternity. And my desire is to awaken us to the eternal realities. And really, that's what the weapons are for. The weapons of our warfare is to win people to Christ, win people to the Lord, as well as helping us. And so I want to challenge you to invite somebody for next Sunday morning. Just invite somebody. It can be a Christian. That's fine. Because Christians, I think, will be inspired. One of the neatest stories I have ever heard. And chalk drawing to back up that story. And I believe that people will not forget this message. They'll see the message. They'll not forget the message. And they will not forget this drawing. And all kinds of things are happening right now to bring this drawing to life and to reality. And I think you'll really appreciate it. So bring somebody, a non-Christian or a Christian even. And tonight I just want to encourage you to do that. And that's what this message is really about as well. Yes. Before we get to the scripture tonight, I have some warnings that are given on certain products that we purchase. And I'd like to share with these warnings with you. And believe it or not, I will tie it into the message. But on Tesco's tiramisu dessert, I've never heard of it. But tiramisu, anybody's heard of it? You ever had it? Great. All right. Do you have a box at home? On this dessert box, it says, "Do not turn upside down," printed on the bottom of the box. On Marks and Spencer's bread pudding, product will be hot after heating. On packaging for a Rowenta iron, "Do not iron clothes on body." On Boots Children's cough medicine, "Do not drive car or operate machinery," on children's cough medicine. On Nitol, a sleep aid, warning, may cause drowsiness. Here's one that's really cool. On a kitchen knife, warning, keep out of children. On a string of Christmas lights, for indoor or outdoor use only. On a food processor, not to be used for the other use. On a Sainsbury's peanuts, warning, contains nuts. On an airline's packet of nuts, instructions, open packet, eat nuts. On a chainsaw, do not attempt to stop chain with your hands. Here's one my wife found many years ago. It still is on this. On a bottle of squeeze cheese, for best results, please remove cap. Would you turn in your Bibles this evening to the book of Isaiah? Isaiah chapter 57 and verse 15. Isaiah chapter 57 and verse 15. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity. Let's pray. Father, we ask your blessing on your word this evening. I pray, Lord, that we would all get a burden for eternity. And Lord, for those that are still in the balances,
their eternal destiny has not been decided. We pray, Lord, that you would give us a burden for them and an outreach. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to begin this message with a story and then end it with a story. As many of you probably know, the Olympics have started in Sydney, Australia. Anybody watched the Olympics yet? Any part of it? Some of you? All right. There have been a number of great Olympic stories in the past. I want to share one of those stories with you now. It's maybe not the greatest story, but it's a story of real commitment. At the Olympic Games in Paris in the year 1924, the sport of canoe racing was added to the list of international competitions. Any of those guys that went, and gals that went canoeing, you think you want to enter the Olympics in canoe racing? The favorite team that very first year in that four-man canoe race was the United States. Telephone. One member of that team was a young man by the name of Bill Havens. As the time for the Olympics neared, it became clear that Bill's wife would give birth to their first child just about the time Bill would be competing in the Paris Games. In 1924, remember, there were no jet airliners from Paris to the United States, only slow-moving, ocean-going ships. And so Bill found himself in a dilemma. Should he go to Paris and risk being at his wife's side when their first child was born? Or should he withdraw from the games and remain behind? Bill's wife insisted that he go to Paris. After all, he had been working toward this all these years. It was the combination of a lifelong dream. But clearly the decision was not easy for Bill to make, as you fathers and you husbands would wrestle with that decision, I'm sure, too. Finally, after much soul-searching, Bill came to a conclusion. He decided that he would withdraw from the competition. He decided that he would remain behind with his wife so that he could be there with her when their first child arrived. Bill considered being at her side a higher priority than going to Paris to fulfill a lifelong dream. To make a long story short, the United States canoe team won the gold medal at the Paris Olympics. And Bill's wife was late in giving birth to her first child. She was so late that Bill could have competed in the event and returned home in time to be with her when she gave birth. People said, "What a shame." But Bill said he had no regrets. After all, his commitment to his wife was more important then, and he said it still is today. The story of Bill Havens is a story of how one man paid a high price to fulfill a commitment to somebody that he loved. We need to fulfill the commitments to the people that we love. We need to fulfill and keep the commitments to God, whom we should love as well. We made a commitment to Jesus when we took on that name of Christian. When we decided that we would be a disciple of his, we committed ourselves to fulfilling the Great Commission. That's what a disciple is all about. Going into all the world and preaching the gospel, baptizing and teaching others about Jesus Christ. That's a job that we all are to do as disciples. Our parts of the world may be different, but we are committed to that task, to the Great Commission that Jesus gave us before his ascension into heaven. Now, if we are to lead people to heaven, we are also to warn them of the dangers of hell. And I gave you those silly warnings on the back of or bottom of those packages or those instruments that we buy. And they're silly warnings, but if product manufacturers feel the need to give such warnings, how much more should Christians warn people about their eternal destiny and about their lost condition and their souls? I was surprised to find out that the word eternity itself only occurs one time in Scripture. However, the concept of eternity is there with words like everlasting and forever. How long has it been since you heard a message on eternity? You know, some of you have probably never, ever heard a message on the word eternity, on eternity. And yet the question, where will you spend eternity, is the most important question any of us will ever answer. Where will you spend eternity? Where will you spend it? Why do we need to speak of eternity? Number one, eternity will be forever in the light of the presence of God or the darkness without God. Eternity will be forever and ever and ever and ever. No ending. Forever. Either in the presence of God and His light or in the absence of God and darkness. Peter told us about the fate of fallen angels. He said they are delivered into chains of darkness. Here is a place of darkness. Hell is a place of darkness. And Jesus said that some would be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Can you even begin to comprehend a place of such eternal blackness that the rays of the sun would never be able to penetrate it? Where the luster of the moon and the dazzling brilliance of the stars never penetrate it? A place where it will be night forever. On the other hand, heaven will be filled with light. Revelation 21, verses 23 through 25. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Light in heaven, darkness in hell. What a contrast. A contrast there in eternity. Light in heaven, no night whatsoever, or eternal darkness in hell. But darkness is only one of the torments of hell. You know what I believe the worst torment of hell will be?
What's that?
Loneliness. Yeah, along those lines, the worst torment of hell will be eternal separation from God. The loneliness mark of being separated from God. You know, the best thing that you can do for another person is to lead that person to Jesus. That is the best thing that you can do for them. You know that the first act of Jesus after he was baptized was to find somebody and reveal himself to that person? The first act of baptism, I hadn't researched that much, and I don't know, but maybe there's a power in baptism to witness too. But the first act of Jesus after he was baptized in water was to go and find somebody and reveal himself to that person. He went and he sought Philip. And in John chapter 1 and verse 43, it says, the day following the baptism of Jesus, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip and saith unto him, follow me. Friends, we are not on an excursion boat. We are on a fishing boat. We are not just on a pleasure cruise enjoying sumptuous meals, cabin service, deck games, and basking on the sun deck. We are to warn people of eternity. We are talking about the eternal condition and the destiny of people. It's an eternity of numbness, an eternity where for not one moment you would feel God's presence in hell. The law of the sea is SOS. Save our souls. 10 miles away from where the Titanic was slowly sinking, after scraping her giant hull against the spur of an iceberg, was the SS California. I'll repeat, the SS California was only 10 miles away when the Titanic sunk. 1,513 passengers perished. 2,224 people were on board the Titanic, of whom 885 were crew. The SOS went out. The air was filled with the message. The Titanic is sinking. The Titanic is sinking. What happened on the SS California? The ship was close enough.
and it had room on board to save all 1,513 who perished. Why were they lost? The wireless operator of the SS California was off duty. One man was off duty, and it resulted in the deaths of 1,513 people. And although the crew saw the rockets shooting into the skies from the Titanic, they, for some unexplained reason, did not take them for distress signals. The stricken ship, mankind's momentary pride, sank at 2:15 in the morning. Those who remember stated that the noise of the sinking, her keel hoisted high in the air, sounded as great and as terrible as the collision of 20 trains. And yet the noise went by with no action. It was reported by the 711 who were rescued that though they were in distant boats, after the roar of the crash of the vessel, there came across the water the cries of 1,513 victims. And then all was silence. They were gone forever. Friends, a true Christian is never off duty. Friends, spiritual destruction is far worse than physical loss. James 5:20 says, "Let him know. Let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death." And that's what I'm here to tell you tonight and encourage you and to let you know that when you convert the sinner from the error of his way, you save a soul from death. You save a soul from eternal destruction. You save a soul from hell. Number two, eternity will be a time of remembering sins in the torment of hell or forgetting sins in the grace and love of heaven. Eternity will be a time of remembering sins in the torment of hell or forgetting sins in the grace and love of heaven. Revelation 22:11. This verse, it really sends chills up and down my spine. "He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still." You see, when somebody enters an eternity, the way they entered the eternity, they stay for all eternity. When the rich man called out to Abraham from hell, Abraham said, "Son, remember. Son, remember." How well they will remember. They will remember their sins and the chances they had to have those sins erased. Memory and remorse will set up their pulpits in people's minds and will berate their soul for all eternity with that terrible text, "Son, remember. Son, remember." What a nightmare. It's no wonder that preachers beg you and intercessors cry out for your soul and the Holy Spirit pleads with you to surrender your life to Christ. And if by chance there is somebody here tonight and you have not surrendered your life to Christ, I'm begging you to do it this evening. I'm praying that you do it this evening. Don't walk out of here. You're not guaranteed another moment after you leave here. Eternity is forever. It is nothing to be played with. It is nothing to be toyed with. You need to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, or you will spend an eternity remembering this opportunity and this chance you had this very night. What a nightmare. Hell is not a reformatory. It is a bottomless pit. There is no second chance. Heaven is another story. The Bible says it so much better than I could. Revelation 22:1-3. "And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and out of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on every side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him." Think about it. In heaven, there will be no more curse of sin. We will forever be with the one who died for us, so that all we do is remember his marvelous grace and his infinite love. And hell will be a time of remembering. It will be a time of remembering sin. It'll be a time of remembering mischances. But in heaven, it'll be a time of remembering His grace, marvelous grace of our loving Lord. A time of remembering His infinite love, such love that God would love a sinner such as I. How wonderful is love like this? And number three, eternity will be a place of torment or a place of rejoicing. A place of torment or a place of rejoicing. Jesus said this about hell. Matthew 13, 41. The Son of Man shall send forth His angels, and they shall gather out His kingdom, all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Verse 49, so shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Our Lord told us the story again of the rich man who died and ended in hell, being in torments. Listen to his pathetic wail in Luke 16, verse 24. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. And send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Did you ever stop to think the significance of this? It's significant that the tongue that refused to confess Jesus as Lord is the thing that feels such torment in hell. Ah, but heaven will be a place of rejoicing. Revelation 21, 1, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Where will you spend eternity? Where will you spend it? In hell, the place of torment, the place of remembering, a place of eternal separation from God, or the place where God Himself will be your God, and you will be His people, and there will be no more suffering, no more pain. All the former things will be passed away, and all things literally will become brand new. I said I would end this message with a story. There is a sequel to the story of Bill Havens, that canoe Olympian who stayed at home with his wife as she gave birth to their first child. The child eventually born to Bill and his wife was a boy, whom they named Frank. 28 years later, in 1952, Bill received a telegram from Frank. It was sent from Helsinki, Finland, where the 1952 Olympics were being held. The cablegram read, and I quote exactly, Dad, I won. I'm bringing home the gold medal you lost while waiting for me to be born. He went and he fulfilled his father's dreams. And he went for the gold and he won the Olympic gold in the canoe race. Frank Havens had just won that gold medal for the United States, a medal his father had dreamed of winning, but had never did. And just like there is a sequel to that story, there is a sequel to our acts of commitment as well. Our commitments to one another and our commitment to God. We reap the abundant harvest of righteousness. We reap a harvest of joy and peace that endures forever. We will win the soul winner's crown for all eternity. And I want you to know that in the perspective of the eternal, winning souls for the Lord Jesus Christ and our commitment to Him. is far more important than any medals or honors we could win for ourselves upon this earth. Jesus said that we should not store up treasures on earth where thieves could break through and steal, or where moth and rust would corrupt and destroy, but we should lay up treasures for ourselves in heaven that will carry eternal rewards. Every soul won will bring an eternal reward, and someday the soul winner's crown will be placed upon our head. He that winneth souls is wise. James 5:20, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. Could I have your heads bowed and your eyes closed this evening? I wonder, first of all, if there is anybody here. Jesus Christ is not your Savior. I just want to make sure tonight, you don't know where you would spend eternity if your heart were to stop beating at this very moment. You don't know where you would spend eternity. You don't know if it would be in heaven with Jesus or if it would be in hell without Him. Sometimes we're afraid to mention hell. We don't want to offend people. But you know, just by ignoring hell will not make it go away. It's there. It's a real place. Jesus spoke about it. Is there anybody here, by a lifted hand, you would say, Pastor, pray for me. I want to receive Jesus tonight. I want to make sure of my eternal destiny. I'm not sure tonight. I'm not sure. I've never asked Jesus, or I just lack assurance. I'm not sure where I would spend eternity. But before I leave here tonight, I want to be sure. Anybody, by a raised hand, I'd like to pray with you. Amen. 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 I trust that those of you that raised your hand tonight just lack the assurance, and I will meet with you. I'd like to meet with you after the service. But Christians, we have to have the eternal focus before us. We have to have eternity in the forefront of our minds. I've been challenged of late. I've got to do more. I got to bring tracts with me. And it's my desire now that we get some tracts here and have a church available for you, that you could take those tracts into the workplace and into the week to share with people about eternity. And again, I want to encourage you to bring somebody next Sunday morning, to get a vision of eternity if they're a Christian. And if they're not a Christian, we want to make sure of their soul. We want to point them in the direction of heaven with all of eternity. There is a message that God really wants to get out. And we'll be sharing that with you next week. But there's a message that God is trying very hard to get out. And He's doing it. And it'll have eternal ramifications. Christians, would you just commit yourself right where you're at to fulfilling the Great Commission? Lord, I'll do what you want me to do. I'll do what I can to warn people of eternity. Pray and ask the Lord to give you the name of somebody that you could invite next week. Lord, You are the one that inhabits eternity. Your name is holy. You alone are holy. You dwell in the high and lofty place. The Lord, your word says you dwell also with those that are of a contrite and humble spirit. Lord, tonight we come before you with contrite hearts. We come before you with humble spirits. We ask, Lord, that you would revive our spirits, that you would revive our hearts, that we would be about your business, that we would fulfill the calling and the commission that was laid before us by your eternal Son. Give us your grace and help us, Lord, to put things in proper perspective and to stand by those commitments we made to you. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Could we stand? Let's sing the chorus. That Josh, you want to come back? Let's sing that chorus again. If you win the one next to you and I win the one next to me, we all work together in all kinds of weather and see what God can do. If you win the one next to you and I win the one next to me, in no time at all, they'll heed God's call. So win them, one by one.
If you win the one next to you and I win the one next to me, in all kinds of weather, we'll all work together to see what God can do. If you win the one next to you and I win the one next to me, in no time
you as you endeavor to do that this week.